Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. I welcome you. Today, it will be an empowering hour. I'm going to do a classroom on the air about a nutrient that rarely is discussed. Most people don't use it, and yet it can be enormously beneficial. Tryptophan. A new article by Travis Harding from Life Extension. I'll share that with you. Then, what is the most effective therapy for post-traumatic stress disorder that's not being used? I'll deal with that. New research on sesame oil. Big benefits for specific illnesses, and I'll tell you which illnesses. Also today, I'm going to give you a consumer's help on reading labels. What should you not buy if you read it on the label? And so you might want to get a pencil and paper, or if you're your computer, which many of you are, just write it down. From our environmental segment today, the newest research on how we are melting glaciers faster than ever imagined, and including a new report today that shows that Antarctica is melting faster than any mathematical model had predicted. This is important because, if you recall, on many occasions, I've said that we are in chaos theory, meaning that for those who think that you have a long time before any natural event could occur that could adversely affect the quality of your life, you're wrong. It could happen almost any time now. And that means that more water in the summer is pouring off the glaciers into the ocean. Remember, we talk about the Atlantic, Pacific, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean. There's only one ocean. There's only one body of water. And when it rises, it's going to rise fast. My fear is that with the acceleration, especially on Antarctica, where in the summer it's getting above 32 degrees, so massive melt-off, we could see so much water pour into the Atlantic and then warm up and then expand, that that's only going to cause multiple high-intensity hurricanes and flooding on all coastal areas of the world. So we'll deal with that. From our public health segment, the psychotherapeutic school system, how they are pathologizing your children, and we're not doing a thing about it. Then, I'm going to give you a substantial list, if time permits today, on the grocery store blacklist, 12 food companies to avoid, and their 95 sneaky aliases. Occupy Monsanto has created the list by Fritz Kreis. I support this, also by Daisy Luther. So you might want to pay attention because even in many health food stores, there are products that are made by multinational corporations that support GMOs, and you may not even be aware of it. After today's show, you will be. But this program, once a week, is called Talk Back, and that's because it's your opportunity to call in with any of the thoughts, insights, comments, challenges, questions that you have. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Let's begin. Now, most people have problems sleeping for the reasons that we have discussed on many occasions. More often than not, it's because they eat too late before they go to bed. You should have no food in your stomach when you go to bed. That means that you really should stop eating about 5 hours before then, unless you're going to have something that's a liquid. But even liquids right before you go to bed can cause you to wake up because you have to enter your bladder. And then when you turn on the bathroom light, that then tells your brain that you're anabolic. It's morning. That means you have a hard time falling back to sleep And when you do fall back to sleep, you don't go into a deep sleep. You go into a shallow sleep where you're not secreting the same amount of melatonin that you would if you were in a deep sleep. And melatonin is crucial for defending your immune system and protecting your brain and also helping your overall body as a major antioxidant. So the idea is first let's prevent. Let's not have any lights on in the room. If need be, simply take a soft cotton material, put it over your eyes. They're actually eye covers. They're used on airplanes. You should have one so that when you go to bed, there's no light. Also make sure that there's no cell phone near your head. Television should be unplugged, not just turned off. And you should have no digital clock near you within 8 feet. You should also check to see if there's any electromagnetic pulses from any electrical activity near the bed. That's all good. Then what happens if you still can't get to sleep? Then I'm going to give you a more in-depth discussion about having better brain chemistry, de-stressing, and getting a much healthier night's sleep with a nutrient called tryptophan. Now, tryptophan, 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 is essential. Aging is often accompanied by a spectrum of mood disorders that include irritability and stress and anxiety. And I know many of you are thinking, well, that's just about everyone I know, but it's not true. Many people, as they age, for multiple reasons, there is no one reason, are irritable. I was counseling all day. I've counseled about 8 hours today. And without exception, no matter whether it was a gentleman who has had two heart attacks and only now is willing to recognize that his lifestyle contributed to it, to a woman who is so stressed that her immune system has collapsed, a lot of times people fear aging. They fear it for all the reasons that society says you no longer have the value as you get older that you once had. We overemphasize the significance of a young, sexy body. As a result, there's an enormous amount of cosmetic surgery to try to maintain our youthful appearance. There's all forms of liposuction, stress diets, and it's fine to exercise, providing you're doing it for the right reason. Exercising merely to burn the calories that you've eaten that day to keep your weight at a certain level is not a good way to exercise. It means that we're taking a negative energy into what should be a positive experience. And since everything in life is based upon the exchange of energy, it's much better to exercise with good energy. Early this morning, I had a chance to meet with an awful lot, a very large crowd of people from this audience who've decided to get themselves in the best shape of their life. But of the 2 hours that I spent speaking with them, it was all about behavior, energy exchange, energy connections, and only a small 20 minutes was on form, how we should actually jog or walk. And then the people understood that the training for the New York City Marathon, or if they don't wish to do the marathon, at least get in the best shape of their life, has less to do with the exercise and everything to do with starting over, with a whole new fresh mindset. But in our society, we've been encouraged to believe that, well, fatalistically, that we really can't change a lot, that we are a victim of conditioning and circumstances. I don't accept that. I accept that no matter what circumstances we're faced with, we can find positive solutions. And that is the motivation. By the way, anyone who wants to join us can come on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock at 5th Avenue and 90th Street. It's free. It's a public service. And we'll get you in the best shape of your life. No matter what you've been dealt, diseases, weight, problems, fatigue, you'll be a different person in 6 months. And hopefully that will then motivate you to spend the next 6 months of your life just continuing to make positive choices. A lot of people are afraid of dying, especially after the age of 50, because then they realize that you're on the downside of life. Your biological cycle, based upon how you've treated yourself up to that point, is working against you. We live in a society that we are constantly reminded it's our right to do what we want to do, where we want to do it, when we want to do it. And that means that there's very little discipline. There's almost no spiritual discipline, very little intellectual discipline, and zero emotional discipline. People are controlled more often than not by the dark side energies of negative emotions. We get bitter, sarcastic, vulgar, mean-spirited, vengeful, all of which we become. And hence, we stay in these never-ending cycles. But then one day, you may have lived a life you thought was a good life, and then you realize, if the average life expectancy is 76 and getting lower because of how we've lived, then did those hamburgers, hot dogs, french fries, the alcohol, the soft drinks, the confections, did they finally catch up with us? Well, the answer is no. Not in a single person did it catch up with you. It was there all along. You just couldn't see how much damage you were doing. You couldn't count the million dead cells in the liver, the heart, the brain, with every alcohol you drank, or the changing the pH and the acidic level in your stomach with every cup of coffee. Because we use this as a social custom, having the morning coffee. The busiest stores on the Upper West Side in the morning are those where people are going in to get their coffee, their caffeine. Why? Because more often than not, they didn't have a good night's sleep, and as a result, the caffeine, anywhere from 75 to 300 milligrams, is going to give them an artificial boost of energy, but you're also destroying your mitochondria when you do that. In fact, I'll be presenting a paper, an original paper, fully scientific references, all the papers are, on how bad caffeine is for you. But when we're into our comforts, we don't think about the consequences. We want what we want, and we want it now. And then one day, there is the heart attack or the breast cancer. There's the divorce or the bankruptcy. There's the stress or the loneliness. And then we try to figure out why. I've never asked a person why that I can recall in my entire counseling career. Because you'll never get an honest answer. The why comes from the conditioned mindset, and it's always going to lie. It's going to justify itself. Instead, I ask, what were your choices, and how did they impact you? And what lesson can you learn so you can start over? Now, the good news is that we can undo a lot of damage. But imagine being 65 and knowing you may only have 10 more birthdays, 10 more holidays, 10 more summers. And you think, I was 35. I never thought about any of this. Now I'm 65, and I'm going to be approaching death. What will I do now? What won't I do? Won't I? And then you start listing all the things that you're unlikely to do. And then you try to redeem that life, and redemption is a dead-end street. Instead, just start over and do it right. That said, when we realize now why so many people get all irritable, it's because they're angry frequently with the life they have left and how few options they have. And what we think of people once they pass a certain prime age. So often we don't consider them any longer sexually attractive. We don't consider them creative. We don't consider them adventurous. And then they don't think themselves capable of doing a lot of things because of a certain age limitation that society places. Both are correct. If you believe you cannot do something, you are right. If you believe you can do something, you're also right. That's the irony. of our beliefs. We're always right. We just don't always like the reward we get for the choices we've made. Now, so when you deal with irritability and stress and anxiety, these symptoms, along with more severe ones like sleep disorder, depression, even aggressive behavior and reduced motivation, and in some people, suicidal thinking, have all been traced to depletion of a brain chemical called serotonin. Sero, S-E-R-O, tonin, T-O-N-I-N. Now, it's a neurotransmitter that's been called the happiness hormone. With the progression of age and chronic and low-grade inflammation, which probably 99% of the American public have, because most of what we consume produces inflammation. A cup of coffee is highly inflammatory. Any alcohol is inflammatory. Now, we can justify this as normal, but it's normal doesn't mean that it's right. And that inflammation sets the stage for degenerative diseases in almost every area of the body. Now, because of that, guess which age today is considered getting old, biologically? 27. You heard me right. By the time the average American is 27, based upon the choices they have made, the indulgences they have taken, the lack of parental guidance and discipline, they have made almost all the wrong choices. The fact they may have been athletic or did well in school is really irrelevant. I can show you a lot of people who did very well in school who died prematurely or suffering from debilitation. So what happens is that these are frequently low-grade inflammations that we don't really notice. And that then causes diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. And while this inflammation often leads to diabetes, it also affects the brain. How? It interferes with the production and release of serotonin. Now, in order for your body to manufacture serotonin, it needs a sufficient supply of a natural amino acid called tryptophan. Now, much of what is now known about the role of serotonin in behavioral disturbances comes from studies of tryptophan depletion. When you lower your tryptophan levels, it triggers a corresponding drop in brain serotonin production, and that's going to make your mood dark, impair your memory, and increase your aggressive nature. Now, although you can't supplement with serotonin itself, tryptophan is readily available as a safe, well-proven supplement, and supplementing with tryptophan helps normalize levels of serotonin and other neurotransmitters. As a result, it can reverse many of the behavioral symptoms of age, including reversing irritability, mood disorders, anxiety, and stress. Excuse me. The scientific literature is clear and it is abundant. We're talking about over 1,000 studies on tryptophan. Tryptophan supplementation simply makes people nicer, happier. Now think of all the people who are depressed, never were told that supplements of tryptophan could change their mood. It can. With the close connection between tryptophan and the neurotransmitter serotonin, it shouldn't be surprising that supplementing with tryptophan can regulate behaviors that involve serotonin signaling in the brain, like mood, sleep, and anxiety. Better night's sleep? Tryptophan. Better mood, happier disposition? Tryptophan. Getting over anxiety? Tryptophan. Studies in animals reveal marked decreases in territoriality and aggressive behavior when their diets are supplemented. Now, for example, in studies of adults who are self-described as quarrelsome, 1,000 milligrams of tryptophan 3 times a day produce significant increases in measures of agreeableness and agreeable behaviors and decreases in being quarrelsome. Interestingly, men in one study experienced a reduction in dominance, whereby both men and women experienced a decrease in arguing. So that's important. A study of 10-year-old boys with elevated physical aggressiveness revealed the benefits of 500 milligrams of tryptophan. In the group given tryptophan, they were able to adjust their levels of response based upon the levels of provocation, helping them avoid violent encounters. Other studies have demonstrated that low levels of tryptophan can have a negative effect on behavior, and people with naturally impulsive or aggressive personalities can receive the most benefit from supplementing with tryptophan. Now, I mentioned sleep at the beginning of the program. Here's how it works. Poor sleep or sleep deprivation is virtually endemic. It in itself causes irritability, moodiness, and especially in people over the age of 40. And studies show that people who sleep poorly are more likely to consume fats and refined sugars, to eat fewer vegetables and fruits, and eat irregular meals. The two main biomolecules that are involved in the production of normal sleep, the neurotransmitter serotonin and the hormone melatonin, both are naturally made from tryptophan in the body. That makes tryptophan a tremendously valuable supplement for those whose sleep is lacking in either quantity or quality. And studies going clear back to the 1970s have demonstrated that by taking between 1 to 15 grams of tryptophan at bedtime helps you fall asleep. Even doses as little as 250 milligrams were found to increase the quality of sleep by lengthening the amount of time spent in the deepest stage of sleep. And during the 1980s, many additional studies demonstrated the benefits of taking 1,000 milligrams or more of tryptophan at bedtime. Significant improvements were shown in the ability to fall asleep quickly, stay asleep, and to get that deep, healing sleep. So let's just review what we've learned, the takeaway information. The multiple roles of serotonin in the central nervous system. It helps better mood, less aggression, less pain, less anxiety, better sleep, better memory, better eating, less addictive behavior, and better control over your body's natural temperature, endocrine regulation, and motor behavior. All are positive, all are necessary. And I've just finished working with a couple, both severely depressed. I just spoke with them about an hour ago. The woman has been depressed for 25 years. She has been so clinically depressed, she hasn't been able to function, hold a job, have a relationship with her husband, became morbidly obese for the last 15 years. As of today, 8 weeks on the protocol I gave her, she has not had a single depressed day. She's lost 40 pounds. She and her husband are having a wonderful relationship, and she's engaged in learning a new career. That's 8 weeks. The psychologist, the psychiatrist, the meds, nothing helped her. So when people tell me that, you know, they can't be helped because they're depressed, they're right. When people say they'd like to be helped, they're also right. Remember, you're going to be right no matter what you do. You're just not going to like what right gives you. As with the sleep disturbances, depression can contribute to irritability, impulsive behavior, and poor judgment. And for nearly 30 years, serotonin has been recognized as a neurotransmitter of central importance in managing depression. Virtually all drug therapies in use today aim at raising levels of serotonin at the synapsis where nerve cells communicate. Well, boosting and balancing brain serotonin through tryptophan supplementation, as opposed to drug therapy, is an innovative approach to depression that's gaining more and more traction. So, generally 2 grams a day of tryptophan will make an enormous difference. And it helps reduce anxiety. Even tryptophan helps with PMS in a major way. So that's our classroom on the air today. 26 minutes on one topic, but at least now we know how many conditions can be helped, improved, reversed, and prevented if we just do something that's natural and non-toxic. And that's what's important. Now it's time for your calls and your feedback. on our talkback program. Our number is 888-874-4888. A special hello to all of our Israeli listeners listening throughout Israel, the vegans, the anti-cruelty to animal movement. I cannot tell you the courage that you show in the demonstrations that I have seen, and including the branding demonstrations, where you put yourself through what an animal would go through to show that anyone eating meat should pay attention. Now, of course, most people are meat eaters. 97% of all populations eat meat in the United States and in Israel. But for those of you who are committing yourself, as you are, to showing that you have respect for all life, including animals, that there is no such thing as creating a humane condition for animals, because at the end of it, you're going to kill the animal, and you're going to take that negative energy in. By the way, I spent an hour today talking about what it means to consume negative energy, either in a relationship, in a work environment, or in food and beverages. I will do that on one of the programs later this week. And by the way, for Earth Day, I've got Jane Goodall and Vandana Shiva among some of the panelists honoring Earth Day. It'll be a phenomenal program. And Rupert Sheldrake for an entire hour talking about the 10 stigmas that we have to understand how to overcome. He'll be on our Conversation with Remarkable Minds. I've written 5 original commentaries for this week. And hopefully, if I'm able to get this finished, I will start a 5-part series on who controls the world. Unlike some people who have part of the puzzle correct and then extrapolate misinformation to the rest of it and hence discredit themselves, everything that I will share is fully documented and referenced and will withstand any challenge. Who controls the world? You'll be surprised. That's all coming up in the next 5 days. And the latest on the environment before we take our break and take your calls. This is from Countercurrents. It's short, but it's really important. A glacier in Peru has melted to levels not seen since the end of the last ice age. Citing a new study published in Science, Keith Wagstaff reported ice that took 1,600 years to form in the Peruvian Andes took 25 years to completely disappear. A glaciologist at Ohio State University, Lonnie Thompson, studies plants that have recently been exposed, and the world's largest tropical ice sheet, located 18,000 feet above sea level. And what's happening is that all these major glaciers are melting. Consider that upwards of 20 million people get their water from this glacier, and they're in a desert area where there's no natural aquifers that they can reach. As a result, think of what's going to happen to cities and communities and agriculture. It's simply a life changer for all these people. But I'm also telling you now, on the record today, that based upon my own careful investigations over the last 7 years for my new book and new documentary on the environment, and the book is already 1,600 pages long, and I'm not even half finished with it. I'll probably have to do it in a series. And the documentary that goes with it, 12 Tipping Points. So I'm acutely aware of everything that's going on in the environment because I'm speaking with everyone who is an expert in their area. We are going to get slammed. And we're totally, completely, 100% unprepared. We're going to have Category 5 and higher hurricanes. We're going to have more tornadoes, more earthquakes. Gas hydrofracking is causing that. We're going to have acidification of the oceans. We're going to have the loss of almost all of the fish that people consume. And we're going to have a loss of most of our shoreline in the United States as well as other countries. And you're going to run out of water in 16 states. At least run out of water able to supply the current populations, industries, So my suggestion, again, go to GaryNall.com or ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. Read the article on the best places to live where you have a sustainable future. The time to make preparations for the next step in your life is not after a disaster, it is before it. But disasters are coming. We're in complete denial. And I understand that. We have to be in denial. First, on a personal level, if something doesn't impact us immediately today, we pay no attention to it. Secondly, our governments, state governments, city governments, and federal government, must deny all of this. Otherwise, it would panic a population. We're having more people go to concentrated areas on a coast or places like Phoenix that are going to get hit and hit worse than anything. I can tell you within the next 3 years, we're going to have a high probability of having hurricanes that will make Sandy seem like a light summer rain. So I've given you the best I can. I've given you a heads up. Why don't you go back over the last 20, 30 years and ask yourself, how many predictions have I made that have not come true? Remember when I told you to buy silver at $5 and gold at $200? Well, gold is going to go down for a while, all because of a complete fraud called the Federal Reserve and the printing of money, which is now being done as of Friday in Japan and in the European Central Bank. They're trying to print their money at such a fast level to keep all their banks and financial institutions solvent while everyone else is living with the artificial euphoria, hoping they catch another bubble. If you're in the bond market, you're in a bubble. Wall Street, it's a complete fraud. It's a total bubble. And the idiots that you see on all the television talking heads, they're so disconnected from reality. But remember, when the next crisis comes, we won't be bouncing back from it. And remember all those people who told you to be bullish? Well, it's the bears that are going to have the opportunity to make their choices. Back in a moment with your calls, 888-874-4888.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, boy, oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, 'cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, there's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. Oh, so listen to me, get up off your knees, 'cause only the strong survive. That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't go around with your head hung down. Well, I wouldn't let the little girl know, wouldn't let her know that she made me feel like a clown. Then she said, oh, little strong survive.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting from our studios in New York City. The rest of the show, it's over to you. Some of the things I want to get to, I'll get to on tomorrow's show. Let's say hello to Sandy from Stony Brook, New York. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, how you doing, Gary? Thank you for taking my call. I have all of your DVDs, and including the new one, Joy of Juicing. I just have a quick question. Maybe you can help me with. I'm gonna ask the question, and I'm gonna hang up and just listen. I'm trying to find out how do the Italians people manage to stay so slim in the land of pizza, pasta, and they also take in a little coffee, and they live long lives and stay so slim over there. I've never been to Italy, though, so.
Okay, well, first, there is no group of people living one life in Italy. If you go to the financial capital, Milan, there's one type of lifestyle, and it tends to be highly stressed. If you go to Venice, it's a completely different lifestyle, less stressed. And in Rome, very cosmopolitan. And then you go to the country, different entirely. I've been all over Italy, and my observations are simple. You have to rate everything on a scale of 0 to 100. And what I found that the perfect diet, if you did everything right, you had 100% living foods, 75% raw, lots of juices, and the right percentage of fats and carbohydrates and proteins and fibers and enzymes, probiotics, that's going to give you about 25% on a scale of 1 to 100. Then if you took all the right supplements and herbs and antioxidants, that's giving you another 10%. You're 35. If you exercise, and you exercise intelligently, you don't overdo it, and you also practice a life that helps you de-stress. Prayer, meditation, journal writing, quiet times, spending time with your friends and family, engaging in social activity, add in 15%. Now you're at about 50%. And we only pay attention to 50%. The other 50% is as important as all the other things I mentioned combined. Quality and the value of your belief systems. And whether you're living on the positive side of those beliefs or on the negative side. Whether you are honoring your life energy or you're living through someone else's life energy. Whether you're living on the upside of that energy or the downside. How you exchange energy with people. Whether you are harmonizing or you're in conflict. That represents the 50%. So, if I'm in the country and I'm running 25 miles on country roads, ahead of me is, or behind me sometimes, is a car with some friends, my brothers, who join me, and two friends who are native Italian. And I go into a little hamlet. And a hamlet might have anywhere from 6 to 15 homes. And some of those homes have been there for 500, 600, 700 years. And I smell the bread, the fresh baked bread in the morning, a mile before I get there because it's so strong. And people have their bread cooling on the top of a shelf of a Dutch door. So you see into the home because they're close to the road. And people invite you, total stranger that I am, invite me to have a loaf of bread. And another place invites us to have a meal with them. And I go out into the fields and I see how they live. They're living close to life. I see people walking barefoot frequently. You almost never see that in the United States. They're grounding themselves because the energy of the earth grounds when you're barefoot, which is one of the reasons we frequently feel better when we're walking barefoot. And then I sit at a table and I watch them enjoy harmonizing with one another. I watch as the dance of delight and the sparkle of passion drift from the oldest couple who are 88 and 84, and you would think they were engaged, about to be married. And they've been married for 60 years. That's pure harmony. You don't see them overeating. They eat portions, and one at a time, and they take their time. If there's an issue that has to be brought up, they deal with it. There's multi-generations, and they all have an input. There's a high sense of ethics where a person shakes your hand, and that's a contract. Where people who in our society be retired and frequently not working are out walking into up and down hills gathering herbs and grapes, and I watched all of this. Now, that doesn't mean that everything they're doing is right. They may drink a strong coffee, or some may smoke cigarettes. So what you do is you have to deduct for some negative behavior, but you still have to look at all the behavior. You have to put each piece of this puzzle together. And then you start seeing the pace of their life. I saw homes that didn't have televisions. I saw homes that when they sat down to eat, they put on wonderful classical opera and the beautiful voices of the tenors and the baritones. And you're thinking, when was the last time when I put on opera to eat a meal? I watched a man play a guitar for 2 hours, classic guitar. Now go into the city where you have to earn a lot, and because it's very expensive, you're very stressed. Frequently, the family doesn't always eat together daily. There's a tendency to reach for fast foods. Smoking is endemic. Sugar, confections is endemic. And they've been removed by choice, their choice, to that environment. So on their scale, they're going to be a lot less likely to live a long and, most importantly, happy life. And what is the purpose of almost everything we do? It's to be able to have a quality of life. There's a difference between quality of life and quantity of possessions, achievements. And we commodify our life. The more commodities we own, we're supposed to be more happy. But just having counseled someone who is a hedge fund person worth billions, with all that that person owns, they're not happy. Therefore, they're diseased. Therefore, what is the good of all the efforts they made? Because it's been the wrong efforts with the wrong exchange of energy. So everything is an exchange of energy. So we have to assume that if you're doing most things right, with a Mediterranean diet, that's a good diet, not a perfect diet by any means, but it's a good diet. How a person eats, how much time they take, their state of mind when they eat, the quality of their relationships, the passion for living each day, that is what allows them to have such a long life. Does that answer your question? Okay, let's say hello to Peter from Pennsylvania. Hi, Peter.
Hey there, Gary. Boy, that really takes me back, because what that gentleman said is the way I live my life today in my 60s, and my father came from the little village of Palombotto. But in any event, it's good stuff, and I'm a vegan, so it can be done.
Having
a couple fold, I don't know how much you'd be able to take. The first, as holistic and as progressive and as much as I've changed since being counseled by someone from your office 7 or 8 years ago, I still, and even though I'm financially independent, I still use a cell phone. I hold it away from my head. I've used the tubular ear set. Number first question is, are there any alternatives now here or coming to help protect against that radiation?
Carrier pigeons.
Two is, I did change careers, closed my financial advisory practice, and I'd like to know what kind of employment in the medical field is that I can get now while I'm working my way to become a nutritionist. And number three, is the project in Camden that you've spoken about on many occasions going anyplace? I've worked emergency medicine over there.
No, because the mayor and all of our efforts to reach out, I was really willing out of my own pocket to completely rehabilitate an entire city block of Camden, but they chose not to engage, in which case I put my energies into creating a veterans village. for homeless vets to rehabilitate them in a holistic way without the drugs, get them off their medications for post-traumatic stress, and get them re-engaged in a healthy, positive way with their family. So it's not that the effort failed, it's just it's been redirected without bureaucracies and the mind-numbing foolishness of the politicians. All right, and that's the most important answer I can give you. As long as you keep your cell phone away from your head and you talk on speaker or use a extension, then you're fine. You won't have the effects of the electromagnetic pulses. I don't know anything you could do in medicine if you're not qualified in it. You wouldn't be allowed to. So be patient until you finish your background work in nutrition. And speaking of nutrition, I've hired two new nutritionists to counsel people who do not have life-threatening illnesses, and they do so for free. They're paid a very nice salary, and so they can help you. Because I only work with terminally ill people. Because there are so many terminally ill people, I have tried to get to those as quickly as I can, no matter where I'm at. But now, if you want to have someone help you in your shopping and helping to be on a healthier diet, on how to save money, then all you have to do is call 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000, and you can just make an appointment. It cannot be over the phone. It has to be in person. Okay? Let's say hello to Pam from New Jersey. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Gary. I have to say I just love you, and you are a saint, and I can't thank you enough for all the great work that you do on your show and your support groups. You're amazing, and I just love you dearly. The reason that I'm calling to... Gary?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The reason I'm calling is my mom has diabetes, and she also, as a consequence of the diabetes, has a bone infection in her toe. And they want to cut her toe off and possibly the foot. And I don't want to do that. She's 83. And I was wondering if there's anything naturally, first off, for the diabetes, and secondly, for the bone infection for the toes, so she doesn't have to go through that.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you have a DVD on ozone therapy. And I wonder if you recommend ozone for that or hyperbaric and whatever else you would recommend.
Hyperbaric would not be the answer. You should give Luann Panessi a call because she educates people about ozone. She is probably the best qualified person I know in the entire New York area that can tell you the pros and cons, guide you through a process of understanding. Otherwise, you're likely to get yourself into a person's office that's only interested in money and doesn't know what they're doing. So call Luann Panessi.
Gary, I did call Luann because I was in one of your support groups, so I know her. And she, I called her, and she said she didn't recommend it, but she was only on the phone for a second with me, and she said something about it could blow your arteries out, my mom's arteries out. So I didn't know what she meant by that, though.
Well, it depends upon where you get the ozone. And I've seen people who've had their extremities saved. So it is a legitimate therapy and does help. But more importantly, your mother's diabetes is more likely to cause the greater problem, because with that diabetes, it can lead to a heart attack. And what type of diabetes? There's type 2. There's all forms of diabetes.
Type 2, I believe it is.
And what's her blood sugar?
I'm not sure what her blood sugar is.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, first and foremost, get her off all refined carbohydrates.
Okay.
No sugars, no bread, no pastas, no sodas, no coffee, no artificial sweeteners. Then have her start eating beans.
Beans?
Beans, like pinto beans,
okay.
Soybeans, all organic. You can get them in the can.
Okay.
And also starchy vegetables, parsnips, turnips, sweet potatoes are okay. And anything that has a low glycemic number. Now, she should have green juices, primarily for diabetes. I start everyone on green apple, celery, and lemon. Then after 3 or 4 weeks, I then go to cabbage, cucumber, and parsley.
Parsley?
Yes. She should be having a lot of garlic.
And garlic?
Lots of garlic.
Okay.
She should have onion in her salad each day. And her salad should be light green lettuce, like bib lettuce, Boston lettuce, and butter lettuce.
I have her on like an organic spring mix salad. Is that okay?
That's fine. And put radishes in there.
Okay.
Also, steam lightly cauliflower and broccoli and asparagus and Brussels sprouts, then blanch them, meaning pour cold water over them, and put those in a marinade. Overnight, mustard, olive oil, and vinegar. And then have your mom have that as a salad. Tempeh is very good.
Okay.
All right. And then I would immediately get her on alpha-lipoic acid.
I heard you say that on a show, so I did start her on that.
About 500 milligrams twice a day. Chromium, as in chromium picolinate.
I have her on that.
About 400 milligrams twice a day, 400 micrograms, MCG, micrograms, twice a day.
Okay.
I would have her on L-carnitine. And by the way, L-carnitine, C-A-R-N-I-T-I-N-E.
Okay.
And in your mother's case, sardines once a day.
Sardines once a day.
Glutamine.
Glutamine.
And taurine. And then five times a day, quercetin.
Quercetin?
Yes.
Okay.
50 milligrams B complex.
Wait, 50 milligrams of the
and
base?
And then zinc.
Okay.
15 to 20 milligrams a day.
And 15 to 20 milligrams of
coenzyme Q10 of zinc.
Oh, Q10.
And
okay.
Coenzyme Q10, generally 200 to 300 milligrams of ubiquinol twice a day within ADH.
Wait, 200 to 300
milligrams
of ubiquinol?
Ubiquinol, coenzyme Q10, 2 to 3 times a day.
Okay.
With NADH, 20 to 40 milligrams at the same time.
2 to 3 times a day. And I'm sorry, NADH?
Yes. And vitamin C throughout the day, right up to bowel tolerance.
Okay.
Vitamin E, and put vitamin E in high doses on the toe itself, but have her take a whole spectrum vitamin E.
Whole spectrum.
800 units. With tocotrienols.
Tocotrienols.
Mm-hmm. And then I would have her take 4 grams, a gram 4 times a day of maitake mushroom. M-A-I-T-A-K-E.
Okay.
And then bean pod tea.
Bean pod tea.
That would be very important.
Okay.
And bitter melon.
Bitter melon.
And then cedar berries.
What is it?
Cedar. C-E-D-A-R.
E-E-D-R?
No, cedar. C-E-D-A-R.
E as in Eric, E as in Eric, D-A-R?
No.
I'm sorry, it's my phone.
C-E-D-A-R.
Oh, okay, C-E-D-A-R.
Yes.
Oh, great.
And
cedar berries?
And high as a T, and high levels of fiber. And the berries she could eat are strawberries, pomegranate, raspberries, and strawberries.
Strawberries.
All right?
Okay.
Okay, that's a good place to start, Pam.
Okay, and that would be... see, I have an appointment for her to see a naturopathic doctor, and he wants to, tomorrow, actually, and he wants to do the ozone and the hyperbaric. I don't know now. Would you not recommend that I do that?
Hyperbaric is going to help.
It will?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
Yeah, hyperbaric is very good. We're out of time, Pan. I want to thank you. And we're out of time. I want to thank all of you for having listened and shared in this hour with us. Now we have just time for one more person. Let's say hello to Lou Ann Panessi. Hi, Lou Ann.
Hello, Gary. And I got a very interesting email today from someone that said that she ran by you this morning. She and her husband were doing a half marathon, and she said she saw you with a huge group of people doing exercises. And her husband started talking about years ago in a race where the two of them were pacing each other, their first mile of a 5K. And we noticed that when we hit our first mile at 6:05, we noticed that you were race walking with two judges, one on a bike and one running beside you. And we heard one of the judges yell out to you that you just hit a world record. We couldn't believe that you were keeping up with runners and you were race walking. They never saw that before. So she said you could hear all the other runners talking about this. And then the last hill around where they were racing was all uphill. And son of a gun, she says, 20 seconds later, you came in. In fact, you averaged a 6 minute 47 second mile. And the question is, do you remember, first of all, do you remember that experience? And do you remember your fastest race walk and what it was?
I sure do remember that. That was the reverse course. It was at the north end of Central Park where we had to go up a hill, a steep hill, down a short hill, and then the last full mile and a quarter was all uphill and steep. And I did have the judges beside me. And it was the fastest master time for 5K on that course before or after. And I was told it was a world record. The trouble is a lot of the world and American records I set weren't always reported. I didn't know for years that you had to have three judges sign off on a race result or it didn't count. I still have a lot of records. I still hold world records, and national records, state records. And it was one of those remarkable moments in my racing career. But I've remembered every single race I've ever done, including five straight 6 minute miles indoors in the indoor Grand Prix series. And I don't forget any of that. I don't think any athlete in any sport ever forgets their remarkable moments. I don't know of any athlete that doesn't remember every detail of it. Whether it's in basketball or hockey or today in the Masters tournament where one guy missed by a half inch of it falling in the cup and in double overtime, he's never going to forget that. So remarkable moments last a lifetime. I'm happy that I had that remarkable moment, and I'm happy that others are having remarkable moments. I'm sure if you ask Sid Howard when he broke the world record for a senior, he'll never forget that. That's the whole idea of creating remarkable moments.
Say it's all right.
It's all right.
Say it's all right.
It's all right.
It's alright, have a good time, 'cause it's alright.